The reading is from the book of Exodus, and you can find it on page 50 of the Old Testament section of your pew Bibles. It's chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him for 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it amongst the reeds on the bank of the river. Her sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, while her attendants walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. This must be one of the Hebrews' children, she said. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Yes." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed it. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him as her son. She named him Moses, because, she said, "I drew him out of the water." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Mike. Now, I said that we're going to try and deliver some of the leftover posies of flowers to those who aren't here. We'd love to be able to deliver some cards with them. And I wonder if there are any children here who are good at colouring, you might like to go to the back corner and you could colour in some cards for us that we can deliver with the flowers. So if you want to go and do some colouring now, you can still hear me if you want to, but you might want to go and do some colouring in the corner. Those of you who are particularly visually acute will notice that I am not Andrew Cinnamond. Andrew is still testing positive for COVID, which is why he's not able to be with us this morning. But if you were here last week, you may know that Susan Holmes preached a sermon that I'd written. This morning, I'm going to preach a sermon that Andrew has written. Presumably, next week, Andrew's going to preach a sermon that Susan has written, and we'll complete the circle. But we wait to see if that's going to happen. But, as always, we need God's help to understand God's word. So I'm going to pray for us as we begin. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that it's your word that's powerful, not the person preaching. And so we ask this morning that you, by your Spirit, would open our hearts and minds to hear you and to understand and to live changed lives because of what you say. Please, Lord, will you do that by your Spirit and for the glory of your Son, because we pray in his name. Amen. Who are the people in your life who've most helped you on your way? Can you imagine a picture of them like this, a wall of people who have loved you and cared for you, who've nurtured you and looked out for you? Maybe there were people who gave you good advice or shared wisdom with you. Maybe there were people who gave you opportunities when others had written you off. As we've said, today's Mothering Sunday, and we're thinking of those who mother us, who care for us in those different ways we've just mentioned. And for many of us, maybe one of the first people we think of will be our mother. And we'll have lots of reasons to give thanks to God for the person he chose to be our mum. For others, maybe that's not such an easy thing to think of. Maybe it wasn't our mother who did that. But I hope that we've all had someone who cared for us and helped us in our life. Maybe a grandparent, an aunt, a godparent, a teacher, a neighbour, hopefully someone from church at some point. And most of these people will be completely unknown in the world. They are not wealthy, they're not famous, they don't have a PR department, They don't have a million-strong following on Twitter. As far as history is concerned, those people have left no name behind. But to us, they made all the difference in the world. God used them in our lives, and probably in the lives of others as well. Well, this morning, our true story from the Bible shows us God at work. God at work again, and again, he's doing that through ordinary people, ordinary women, in fact. But they were incredibly brave women, and God used them to change world history. I was at a youth weekend away a couple of weeks ago, and one of the questions that one of the youth fired at me anonymously was, is the Bible sexist? I think I'd want to bring them to Exodus chapter 2. Look at God working exclusively through these brave women. Well, who are they? Well, first of all, we have a mother. We have a mother. This was a bad time to be having a baby, a bad time and place to be having a baby. We're in Egypt about 3,500 years ago, and the Hebrew people, God's people Israel, they are slaves there. It's horrible for them. It's unbelievably unpleasant, but they keep going and they keep having children. And the Egyptians treat them even more harshly as the nation grows, and they use them as forced labor to build those pyramids that we've all seen in the great cities of Egypt. And yet they can't be kept down because God is with them. And eventually Pharaoh resorts to genocide. He gives the order to kill all the baby boys of the Hebrews so that they will die out. It's an extraordinarily evil thing to do, and it seemed to be the end of the Hebrew people. But the mother in our story loves her baby boy, and she refuses to allow him to be killed. She hides him for 3 months, after which I think it gets a bit harder to hide, and then she bravely hatches a plan to save her child. Did you see that in verse 3? We're on page 51 in our Old Testament. When she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. Just imagine how desperate you would have to be to resort to that as the only way that you can look after your child. But she is protecting him. She is mothering her child. She's doing everything that she can. And she seems, well, the odds seem stacked against her, don't they? She seems just one brave mom against the hatred of the whole Egyptian empire, against the murderous intentions of Pharaoh and all his false gods. And she's done an amazing and brave thing, but she's going to need some help. And so as well as a brave mother, we have a brave sister. Brave sister. Have I gone on to... No, I've gone on. That's the right. Brave sister. Now, we find out from elsewhere in the Bible that this sister is called Miriam, the sister of this little baby boy. And after he's been put in the basket, she stands at a distance to see what will happen to her brother. Again, imagine what that would feel like, not knowing what's going to happen next. Her heart in her mouth as this little reed basket covered in tar just floats away down the mighty Nile. And you know there's a 3-month-old baby inside it, and he's your brother. Is the river going to carry it all the way out to sea? What about the crocodiles? I mean, is God really caring for his people at this point? Maybe he's just abandoned them to their fate. But you see, God's got this. God has got this. Even in the darkest of days for his people, you can see God's hand providentially at work. Not only do the crocodiles keep away, not only does the river not sweep it away out to sea, the river carries it to a person. A person who finds this baby, and not just anybody, a princess. See, Pharaoh, as you probably know, was the king of Egypt, and his daughter who finds the baby Moses in the basket. And then when she does, Miriam, this brave sister, pops up and very innocently asks if the princess would like one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for her. And Miriam goes off and gets her and Moses' mother to do the job. And so in God's plan, do you see what's happened? This brave Hebrew mother is now getting paid to look after her own son. I wonder how many mums would quite like that deal, to get paid to look after your own child. And she knows that in the future he's going to be safe because he's going to be brought up in the palace itself. You see, in God's plan, this brave sister took her opportunity and she spoke up. And look at the difference that she made. So first we have a brave mother, then a brave sister, and third, this princess. I think we can say a brave princess, because the heart of this Egyptian princess melts as she opens that basket, sees the baby boy, and hears him cry. She's moved by compassion and love towards those she's been brought up to hate. In a dark and menacing situation, her warmth and her openness of heart to those who are different from her overcomes everything else. See that in verse 6. When she opened it, the basket, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. "This must be one of the Hebrews' children," she said. This princess is very different from her dad. She's different from what her upbringing might have led you to expect she would be. Her dad wants to kill all Hebrew babies. She is about to take one into her family. It's immensely brave of her to decide to do that. She's going to bring this Hebrew boy into the royal court with all the privileges and riches that go along with it. So here we have God at work through three brave and bold and resourceful women who resist and fight against the cold and cruel male world around them. And like millions of brave women around the world today, these women are standing up against violence and oppression and injustice. They overcome the obstacles that are placed in their way and they dedicate themselves to providing a safe environment for others. Safe environment to this precious child. Precious, safe environment for those who are created as everyone is in the image of God. But actually the women in this true story from the Bible are doing even more than they realize. Because this true story about Moses from the Old Testament book of Exodus is all about rescue. I hope you've seen that. It's about Moses being rescued, but it's also Moses being prepared to become a rescuer. It's about salvation. It's about God's plan to rescue a holy people for himself. Now here's a good Bible fact for you. Drop this one into conversation whenever you find you're talking to someone. It's just drooping a bit. Did you know that the word we have here translated as basket only occurs one other place in the Bible? It's in Genesis chapter 6. And it's a rather bigger basket. It's a basket that Noah was asked to build. It's the ark. This basket is an ark. And just as the ark saved Noah's family and the animals from the flood, so too this little papyrus basket kept Moses safe from the River Nile. And both Noah's ark and Moses' basket, they both look ahead, they point ahead for us to God at work again in a greater rescue. Because if you fast forward through a couple of thousand years of Bible history, you come to another murderous king and another special baby being born. This time we're not talking about Pharaoh, but King Herod. He's the one who decrees that all the baby boys, this time in Bethlehem, that they're all to be killed because he doesn't want another king to threaten him. But once again, God is at work. Once again, God is at work through another brave mother, Mary. And because God's plans cannot be thwarted, this mother and child are kept safe in their own dangerous and dark times. Mary gives birth to Jesus, as we remember every year at Christmas. And the angels announce his birth to the shepherds in the fields. "Today in the town of David, a saviour has been born to you. A rescuer." It's another and greater story of rescue. The ark saved just the family of Noah. The basket just saved Moses. He would go on to rescue God's people from slavery. But Jesus came to save the whole human race. He's the one who opens wide the gates of the kingdom to anyone who will believe and trust in him. Jesus would go to the cross and sacrifice everything so that we can be forgiven and become the children of God. He saves us from the effects of rebelling against God and going our own way. You only have to look at the world to see that we're in a mess. To be honest, you only have to look at yourself. I know that's true of me. We need a savior. We need a rescuer. And God brings us Jesus. Mothering Sunday is a great time to remember that God uses ordinary people in his plans. In this case, a mother, a sister, and a princess all played a role in Moses being kept safe, and therefore in all the great things that God through him went on to do. And then in Jesus' early life, we remember the love and care of Mary that nurtured Jesus as he grew up to be that savior that we need. It's a good day to reflect on the people who've nurtured us, as we were thinking at the beginning, how much of themselves they've sacrificed to do that. That may be people who shared their homes with us, gave us a place to lay our heads when we really needed it. People who were generous to us with their time and money. People who loved us, even perhaps, if we're honest, at our most unlovable. Some became the parents that we wished we'd had and didn't. So the challenge then is, if we've received that love, will we pass it on? If we have known that love from human beings, will we pass it on? And if we haven't known that love from other human beings, we have known it from God in his provision of a rescuer, will we still pass that love on? Will we take our place in caring for others? Will we give as we have been given? We've been doing that in recent weeks. Many have given generously in our appeal for Ukraine. Others will be considering providing shelter, taking into their homes those who have had to flee from Ukraine. There are others who give themselves time and time again, week after week, in so many unnoticed ways. But Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "When you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Well, today we're encouraged to give thanks to God for those who loved us, and in turn, we're encouraged to share that love with others. It's tempting to look after our own, look after ourselves, just myself or maybe those immediately in my nuclear family, if I have one. But that's not the way of the kingdom, and it's not the way of Jesus. Mothering Sunday is not a day to have a rosy or sentimental view of the family. It's not a day to try to recreate a world that never was. We're in danger sometimes of idolizing the family unit and thinking that's the only important thing in church. Many have come up through a church culture where it was expected that they would grow up to a certain age, they must get married, they must have children, and if they weren't doing that, they were doing something wrong. We've worshipped the wrong thing. Jesus calls us to something deeper and richer. The family of faith in the local church goes much deeper than simply DNA. It's about encouraging one another to grow up together in Christ, bound together by a faith in who Jesus is and what he's done for us. We are brothers and sisters together. Jesus wanted us to construct a genuine family of faith, full of love and care for each other. How do I know that? Because he once said, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" Pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Just as the heart of that Egyptian princess overflowed to include that Hebrew baby boy under threat of death from her own father, so we are called to have compassion and love for others. I wonder this morning, who is God calling you to open your heart to? Who is needing someone to nurture and love them? Who is it that you can share the love of Christ with this week? Let's take a moment to pray. Gracious God, we thank you that you mother us, that you care for us. We thank you that you call us into your family and that we can all find a place there, whatever life has been for us outside. We ask, Lord, that you'd help us to know more deeply your incredible love for each one of us. And we ask that this week you would help us to pass that love on, particularly, Lord, to those whom we find difficult to love or whom perhaps we don't even notice. May we be a family that extends love to all. And we pray that as we do that, your name might be honoured here in this place. All the glory, Lord, may it go to you now and forever. Amen.